my long-term goal is to answer the question, when we do long-term outlook for cotton, one of the things that comes up is whether the competition with polyester is one of the most primary things going forward. And often, we all know that, you know, polyester is made from oil, and we know that oil prices fluctuate a great deal, and at various times, people have been forecasting to remain at $100 a barrel or stay down at 20. And the natural question is, you know, what does that mean for cotton? You know, if the input into polyester is at an extraordinarily high or extraordinarily low price, you could imagine that would then have an implication for what is going to happen to cotton. But there has been previous research, which I've been trying to update, that suggests that one of the long-run drivers for cotton price is the polyester price. And so the implication is that if the price of polyester falls, is that it drives the price of cotton down, and you don't see a change in that relationship. There's been some previous work in the past on that, which I've been trying to update, and maybe I'll get it done in time to put in when we finally put in the paper in the proceedings next month. So in the meantime, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show some the preliminary work I had on bivariate Granger causality between various prices, between corn and between cotton and corn, cotton and polyester, cotton and oil, and then also look at some of the macroeconomic factors. We all know that the income is a very important variable, the exchange rates, and a correctly specified model would have to have those in there. We need to look at those. So I'm going to present some results from vector autoregression with making the point that actually, to really get to the bottom of this, we need to look at some models that break out the long run and the short run. And so one of the, you know, I've already mentioned about I'm interested in the relationship between cotton and oil, but of course another thing is what's changing over time. For instance, in the last 20 years, we've seen the appearance of fracking and you know, the change. The U.S. has become the world's largest oil producer again, and instead of oil prices being determined by what the king of Saudi Arabia thinks they ought to be, now the marginal cost of the production for oil has changed. And so originally, you know, on the one hand, for this graph, I've sort of cut out that spike we had in cotton prices. I think one problem with trying to do a model that uses a great, you know, all the data we have available is during the time when we had a bubble in cotton prices, you know, we see that there was definitely a change in the distribution. The modeling possibilities that I would be using would have to be accounting for that. My first approach is to just focus on the current period and compare the pre-spike and the post-spike. And this is just to show you how some of those macro variables work. Now, one interesting problem in a research program along these lines is if you're trying to do monthly price modeling for cotton, you know, income is a huge variable, but how to get a world income variable at a high frequency? You know, the IMF publishes annual data. You can get IHS Marquette. It gives you quarterly data, but only back so far. U.S. industrial production is a monthly variable. Now, I don't know how many of you, there's a very good economist, Lutz Killian, who's done some very fabulous modeling about cotton, about oil prices. And he came up with this variable for world income based on the Baltic freight index, and he made a very strong case for it. Which, though I had some problems with it, and a good economist named James Hamilton at San Diego was hated it. And so there's an index which I've listed here as world income. It's OECD plus six countries industrial production, and you can see during the global financial crisis, you see that wonderful coincidental change in the U.S. in the income and cotton prices. If you go back to the smaller downturn in 2001 and then the slowdown we've seen in recent years, in 2019, you can see that, you know, though this is a non-stationary variable and it's the shocks of the variable rather than the level of it that drive cotton prices, but it's an important variable. And likewise, you can see that the wonderful inverse correlation between a real exchange rate and the real cotton price. Now, again, to get back to my point about when you focus in on a period where you've broken off from that structural change of when you get into the shale oil revolution and oil prices are moving along at a certain point. And also when you get into the point where we're after the huge run-up in Chinese polyester production, you see some stability among the relationships between these prices. And again, because one of my points is that when people say they want to draw conclusions about the relative price of polyester and cotton based on the oil price, what you see is the similarity between polyester and oil and cotton and oil is very strong. I mean, there seem to be some trends, but there's not a huge divergence. And one of the things that you remember from Dale's presentation this morning, one of the problems with trying to get to correctly model polyester prices is it's incredibly opaque what's going on in China. I mean, for years and years, we've been saying we believe China subsidizes polyester production. It seems pretty straightforward that it subsidizes industrial production. But we could never get anything on polyester. And it was interesting, Dale showed this morning that after the financial crisis, we see polyester production shoot up a great deal. And you see part of that, you can see in this post-financial crisis period of cotton finding it's losing ground against polyester with it, rising on a price-wise basis, and then stabilizing coincident with the change in the polyester production that Dale was showing. So that may be something, that may be on the one hand, I'm trying to get at this just using the price data, but it may be that a good variable to bring in would be the polyester production in China. And then finally, just to make another point about relative prices, this graph goes back to 1990, and there's been this downward trend in cotton prices relative to competing agricultural crops. Now, on the one hand, we could say it's because of polyester, but you see that this change began before the financial crisis. You can see it after 2000. And for a long time, I would think it would reflect the introduction of GMO cotton into India that drove India up into becoming the world's second largest producer. And so that changed the marginal cost of cotton production in the world market. But in any case, to model going back that far would be too difficult. So the co-integration studies that I was trying to update are mostly go back to, the first John Baffes did a lot of work on co-integration. He used to present them at the Beltwide. And he did find that cotton and polyester were in a long-run relationship, but he didn't really answer the question about oil. Now, Alejandro Plastina from the International Cotton Advisory Committee did some work. And it was interesting. He showed there was no long-run relationship between cotton and oil, or oil and polyester, but one with cotton and polyester. And there's been some other studies which have not been very satisfactory. I mean, I just want to give credit for people for having done some work along these lines. But I have to admit, there's the time series work that comes out of Ag Econ is often not as sophisticated as the work you see in some other areas. So there's it leaves plenty of opportunity to do some interesting work. But in any case. So what I had been trying to do was update those studies by Baffes and Goha. But instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to present my preliminary results where I was just looking at the bivariate Granger causality to give some stylized facts about the relationship between cotton and oil prices, polyester and cotton prices. And what I'm using is Todaro and Yamamoto showed a way to correctly use a vector autoregression model to analyze Granger causality even when there's non-stationarity in one of your variables. And it sounds that it's a very interesting thing because it's a nice little trick where you estimate the var in as many lags as seem appropriate based on the information criteria and so forth. But then the test involves actually estimating a var with additional lags equal to the order of integration of the non-stationary variables. And then you do your Granger causality test on the K minus one or the K plus M minus one number of lags. So that, in other words, just to go back to reiterate what Granger causality is in a bivariate situation, it simply testing to what extent you can take a univariate model of a variable and improve your forecast with another variable. And you do it you do it jointly, and you can determine whether if one variable causes the other or not. And actually what you're doing is you're testing if it does not Granger cause. And ultimately, you know, this is tied into co-integration and whether one price is exogenous or not and it is leading the other. But at this level of specification, you can't really answer that question. But I think it's a nice statistical exercise. So for the current period, for the 7 years after when cotton prices and polyester prices stabilized, when the Chinese import policy stabilized, what we can find is if we use like a loose significance level, in other words, you can see it's above 5%, but I think if we take 10% as our threshold, we see that cotton is caused by oil, but cotton doesn't cause oil, which is an appropriate finding. And likewise, we find that cotton is caused by polyester. I put the same data in there. Sorry about that. But that was the finding, that cotton was caused by polyester, but polyester was not caused by cotton. And then, of course, cotton is caused by corn and not the other way around. But one unfortunate thing is a previous specification, I had found that oil caused corn. But when I've now actually moved on to it, and in this data, we don't find oil causing corn, which is, again, this highlights some of the limits of using this analysis. Now, if we go back to the pre-spike period, we actually get results. We get much stronger results of how oil interacts with cotton and polyester, and that's consistent with the previous studies I had examined were done during this period. So that's consistent with that finding, and we still find cotton caused by corn, but unfortunately, what we do not find is cotton caused by polyester, and we actually have a counterintuitive relationship between corn and oil prices. So I think, what I feel like I've accomplished is that this is at least an objective demonstration that cotton is influenced comparably by oil as is polyester. And so at least when we're trying to look ahead and say, if we just see a shock to oil prices, do we automatically know that now we can that's going to have a very intuitive, obvious change in relationship between cotton and polyester prices? And I don't think you can. I don't think we can forecast the relative price of cotton and polyester going forward based on oil. I think this is evidence that it actually comes down to industrial policy in China, perhaps a technological change in the polyester sector. And then just to go and look at some of the relationships between some of the macro factors. This testing did not really find a strong relationship between cotton and the dollar, though there's some hints of it. Again, this is a limitation of using bivariate analysis. And we did find a very strong relationship between cotton and income. Though one thing I want to emphasize is we're doing this in levels, and we're not breaking out the long-run and short-run impact. So you may recall that income is clearly a trending, non-stationary variable, and I wouldn't think there would be a long-run impact on income and the cotton price. The cotton price is clearly not going up as total income goes up. It's only responding to the shocks. So, but the shocks are very important of income with respect to cotton. And so again, it was interesting to see polyester also responding to, polyester is responding to the U.S. dollar in a, using the 10% significance level threshold. So, and then just a few more things is that, the U.S. dollar is a safe haven currency. And so one of the, for instance, during the global financial crisis, you'd see some correlation between the U.S. dollar and income. But we just don't see you don't see that relationship here in this more recent data in this modeling framework. And also, likewise, many people often say that, we often have an intuition that oil prices are an important shock that drives recessions and so forth, and other people question that. And so it's interesting that these findings showed in 2002-09 during that period that there's a joint relationship in there. And likewise, we see cotton and income joint, which is a very unfortunate, unhelpful finding. But it might speak to whether possibly cotton is a leading indicator. Cotton prices being so income sensitive, and it could be traders could have better information and might anticipate income changes. But I wouldn't. I'm going forward. I think the goal would be to make income exogenous to cotton, because cotton is a relatively small part of the world economy. And then just to add one other thing, John Robinson today, he had a stocks to use monthly variable in there based on the WASDE. And so I've been trying to create a variable like that, and it does have a strong causal relationship with cotton prices. So that would be a correctly specified model would have that. So again, just to sort of conclude, cotton, as we would expect in both 2002 and the last 7 years before the crisis and since the crisis, cotton is caused by oil and not the other way, caused by corn and not the other way. And recently, we've seen cotton caused by polyester, which is an interesting finding. I think that's something to still determine, because on the one hand, you can imagine it would be appropriate for a polyester producer to track cotton prices, and you expect cotton prices to be more volatile because they're driven by supply and demand shocks, where polyester doesn't have that problem. But that's actually you could make an argument the other way, that. If oil is driving polyester prices, I mean, we all know oil is volatile, so that's something to go forward with further research. So I thank you for giving me the opportunity to make my little rant about oil and cotton and polyester. And if you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to have them. And thank you very much.